a part of Link Church, and Siana is how old?
One
year old. There's a birthday to celebrate right there. So Ryan and Janelle, why don't you come forward? Is Julia here? She's downstairs. We'll leave her downstairs. Come on. And listen, you know, just family that want to just come and gather around too, just come up, because as I think it'd be really, anyone that really wants to be just up, come on up and pray with them. I don't think we need to be exclusive right here. Come and stand right in there. So come on and just gather around, because we're just going to pray, and everyone's just going to agree for this little person, for Siana and just and this couple. This couple have got a great story. You know, and you know what? The thing is that Jesus is in the center of this story, which I think is really, really special. You know, this man and this woman want to honor God with their lives. Come on. And their family is part of that. And I think it's such a privilege that we can just join with them and just cheer them on. Amen?
Amen.
And they need us around their world. That's true, isn't it? Can't do this alone. We need all the help we can get. And support that comes from being in a Christian family is powerful. Support that comes from the actual family, that just goes without saying, but the support that comes from just knowing that God is with us. And come on, we're just going to pray right now and just really just pray for this family. Lord, we just thank you, Father God. God, that you're at the center of all our lives. But when we make a stand, when we stand up and say something, like today with Ryan and Janelle, as they stand here, we know, Lord God, that Siana is in good hands. And we pray for her, Father God. We pray blessing upon this child's life. That your word, Lord God, would be rich in her world. That as she grows, Father God, as she grows in you, Lord God, that she would grow in wisdom and, Lord, and in favor with the community. Lord, we know, Lord, even as we see in the word, that, Father, that you sent your son and that he grew in favor with you and with the community. And I pray, Lord, that this family, Father God, that this woman and this man, Lord, we just release your anointing upon them. And Father God, that it would all be about God and people. Lord, about growing in favor and growing in blessing. And we pray, Lord, your anointing upon their world. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Does anyone else just want to pray? Andy, do you just want to pray over them as well?
Father God, I'll just say thank you that you brought these two wonderful people together, Lord, and they have got this wonderful child that they that you have brought them. I just pray, Lord, that you just keep them safe, Lord. Just pray protection upon them, Lord. I pray you claim your blood upon them, Father God. That your Holy Spirit guide them each and every day of their lives, Father God. When they wake up in the morning and when they go to bed, Lord. They just they've just moved into a new house, Lord, and we just pray over their house right now that you keep that safe. Keep that house safe, Father God. And thank you, Lord.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Come on, put our hands together for these guys. I think that's awesome. Okay. You know, I'm just so aware that right here today with us is Angel, and Angel's just had Brax, and where's Angel at the moment? Is in the other room? Hey, Angel. She can see us on a camera. She's in the other room, if you're wondering what's happening right there. So, and I think that's just fantastic. You know, you only just had had Brax a couple of weeks ago. She looks so fit and fit, you know, it looks like, you know, same, my goodness, God is good. Come on, we're going to come around God's word this morning, and last week the message was called Stand. Who enjoyed that last week? Stand. We're going to stand for what we believe in. We're going to stand and be strong for where God has brought us. But this week the message is called Walk, Then Run. Walk, Then Run. God wants us to be people that don't just stand for something, but we're able to move ahead. He wants you to move ahead. Let's pray before we start. Jesus, I ask that you would come. Give me strength, I pray, Lord. Seriously, I pray. My God, give me strength this morning to deliver this message with clarity, with honesty, with integrity. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and bring a sense of conviction to our hearts, not through the voice that of a human, but Lord, your voice speaking to us now. Even as we sit here, Lord, I pray you'd begin to stir hearts. Even as we sit here, you'd begin to bring a sense of understanding that you are with us. Lord, let it be your word that changes us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who went out yesterday and got up early in the morning and went out to Dawn Parade? Just raise your hands. You went out to Dawn Parade. Who come here to Lower Hutt? Who was in Lower Hutt? Who went into Wellington? No, it was really a momentous time. And I think all of us could say something about, war and family. We'd have uncles or parents or grandparents or something similar of people that have gone through something related to the war. My story from World War One is my grandfather, Irvin. He didn't die in World War One. He came home. Came home to Todd's Valley, little farm community just north of Nelson. And he slowly died. He was in Flanders Fields. He breathed mustard gas. It took 10 years for him to die. So he wasn't dying on the battlefront, but he did die. My grandfather died. I never knew him. I knew my grandmother, never knew my grandfather. He was already gone. He died from World War One. You know, all of us have got something that touches us. And I believe that, you know, we're seeing people that stand for something. When the time comes, we stand for something. And this is what I believe. I believe that our values as individuals come to a place where they're put to the test. And we know what we believe when our values are tested. You know, it's once been said, or maybe I thought it up myself, I don't know, but it sounds really good, that the highway to shattered dreams is littered with good intentions. The highway to shattered dreams is littered with good intentions. I intended to do that. Well, I meant to. I wanted to. I thought of it, but I never did it. Good intentions will not bring our dreams to pass. But listen to me. Your values will dictate your future. Your values, what you value, will dictate your future. The values that you hold will determine what your future will be. You know, and I know that we need to be people that can stand for what we believe in. But there's going to come a moment, and the moment is upon us now, I believe, in this age, where we have to be people that don't just simply stand for something, but are prepared to push forward to actually go further. I want to tell you about one of Jesus' disciples that did this. Now, you know that he had 12 disciples. He had more than that. There were others. In other places, it says he had 70 disciples. In other places, he had 120 disciples. The thing was is that he had 12 that were close, but he had others that were involved. And one of those disciples actually just didn't stand. You see, the others were standing with him. When he went places, they were there. When he went into towns, they were beside him. When he brought his message, they were agreeing. When he got a hard time and he was chased out of a town, they all went with him. They were standing with him. That was obvious. You could see them there. They were standing for what he was saying. But only one actually got up and walked out what was happening in their life. Really? Which one was that? Let's turn to John chapter 12, and we will read about the one. Jesus said this disciple would never be forgotten, for when the day came, they stood up, and this person walked. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Now, just so you know, in Mark, it describes the same event. And in Mark, he describes it. He says that they went to the house of Simon the leper, and there were a whole lot of people there. Now, it was forbidden to go to lepers because it was a part of the law. So the assumption is that Simon the leper, the house that he was here in John 12, it was like Simon, where there was in the Bible, you see Simon of Cyrene, you see Simon the sorcerer, you see Simon, son of Jonah. That there was a way of describing a person. I suspect that Simon the leper was actually someone Jesus healed. and that everyone went round to his house because he was well now. But he was, who was, we're going around to Simon, Simon the leper. Oh yeah, Simon the leper's house. So they're around at this house, they're at this person's house, and it's not long before Jesus will go to his passion and die for us on the cross. Here there was a dinner given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was amongst them reclining at the table. Then Mary took about half a liter of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance and the perfume. In Mark, it says that she poured it on his head. It doesn't matter, head or foot. The point was, the people that saw it, they saw it happen. Perhaps it was both, but they saw this taking place. It was shocking. It was amazing. It was outrageous, the thing that this woman was doing. She wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was the keeper of the money bag. There's a mistake. Put a thief in charge of the money bag. Yeah, don't do that. Okay. He was a thief in charge of the money bag. He used to help himself with what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she would save this perfume for this day for my burial. You will always have the poor amongst you, but you will not always have me. In the other account, Jesus said this, you will always have the poor and you can do good to them at any time, but you won't always have me here. So here goes this woman, this disciple of Jesus, and she's actually got up from her place of standing with him, and she's taken a step. She's taken another step. She's actually done something. Her values have spontaneously been outworked. Now, it says in the Bible that that perfume was worth 300 denarii. That doesn't mean anything to you and I. But one denarii, in another story, was a day's wage. If, therefore, she had just poured out 300 denarii, that's like a year's income. You know, if you're an intern like Liam, it's probably 5 years' income. And the point was, it was a lot of money. It was extravagant. It was expensive. She was being outrageous. She was being a person, a student of Christ, that was actually beginning to walk her faith. When your values come to a place of being tested, when the thing that you value gets tested, particularly it's a value that you hold in Christ, listen to me, this is what will take place. There'll be those that are convicted and that something resonates with what you're doing and you inspire them and it causes them to rise up to a new level. And there'll be those that resist you, become aggrieved. In the other account, it says that there were those that were dissenting and they were upset. What's going on? And so it's almost like there were two crowds. The crowd that were going, oh, what are you? Stop. Somebody stop her. This is ridiculous. And over here, there's the others are saying, oh my goodness, why didn't I do that? That's so amazing. That's inspiring. Why didn't I step up? Why didn't I do something? I intended to. No, you see, her values were so strong that she began to walk. She began to walk. There's a proverb in the Old Testament. And I want to quote it, so I better get it on the screen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. What was the proverb, the person telling the proverb, talking about? Was he just saying, you know, listen, if you walk, if you actually start to sort of be a person that's a God follower, you're never going to, whoa, whoa, careful there. You're never going to, was he talking about your physical walk? Was he actually talking when the proverb was saying that? Or was he using that as a metaphor of our life? when you walk, when you run, you won't stumble. You see, there's a promise in the word that when you step out in life, in your values, you start to outwork the values of your trust in God. When you start to make a stand, when you do something that makes a difference, when you actually step out a little bit, you won't stumble. You see, God, he won't leave you. He won't forsake you. When you take that step in his name, you're stepping out for him. He's with you. You see, we can be people that just stand and do nothing, and that's good. We need to stand, and we're in a time. We're in a time when we need to stand. Our time is changing. I said that last week, and that I believe a time of persecution is coming, and we need to be in small groups. We need to get into small groups, because I don't think that we're going to be having the liberty that we have now for many years to come. The world is changing. Listen, I'm going to tell you something that happened yesterday. Yesterday, I went on a date with my daughter. Sometimes it's good to do that. And then we decided to go to a movie. And we went to a Marvel movie. I grew up with Marvel comics. My hero was the Hulk, because I'm kind of built like him. And so we went along and watched Marvel. I've seen the Avengers, and I've watched them. They're good. And I like to rate them, how well they've done. And there's been some Winter Soldier, Captain America, Winter Soldier. Oh, that was a good story. Of course, it's fiction. You go for escape and entertainment. That's pretty harmless. And yesterday, after coming back from the movie, my son, Virgil, said to me, he said, "Dad, you enjoyed the movie. What was the directing like?" "Directing was good. Acting, they did okay. Good story, original story." So you give it a high score. He said, "You know, you're going to go back and see it?" "No." "What, you're not going to go back and see it?" "No." "What about when it comes out on DVD? "No. No, I don't even want to see it again." "What?" I said, "Do you want me to tell you why?" He says, "No, I'm seeing it this Wednesday. I don't want me to spoil it." Okay, for all those that are going to see it, close your ears. You're about to get a spoiler. I'm joking. It's not going to be, well, it's a little bit of a spoiler. I won't tell you anything. I want to tell you something that upset me. It upset me because it upset my values. In the story, they'd started swearing a little bit and made a joke about it all the way through. It wasn't that. It just shows you that these children presentations, because they're made for young people, and they're becoming darker. No, it wasn't that. At one place, a person says, as she looks out a window at the Avengers, she says, "You know, how are you going to be and exist with these gods?" And then that's a bit weird. But that's not what upset me. Now, what upset me was this. There's a moment when a character that they developed in this particular movie yesterday, they developed a new character, and he's very powerful and very impacting. And they said, "What is your name?" And he says, "I am." Now, for you sitting here, you might say, "Well, that doesn't mean anything." Except that's right out of the Bible, because that's the name of God. God's name is I am. And you say, "Oh, that's just directors, just writing, But here's the thing. They would have known, those directors, when they wrote this. They would have known. They didn't put that in accidentally. No, that's put on purpose. They would have known the significance of that. That's why they put it there. They left that hanging, I am. It makes me think, as I was sitting there and that happened, I'm looking and suddenly the facade of the entertainment was pulled away. Suddenly I was looking at the movie with a new light. The spark of enjoyment went out of it, and I'm sitting there going, "Really? Wait a minute, what am I watching here? This is amazing. I'm watching technology. It's like anything that we dream could happen. You know, the things that they're trying to imagine 10 years ago are now happening. Things that we imagined 10 years ago are happening today. It seems like anything we can imagine, we can do. But this is not original. This is not new. It happened according to the Bible. In the book of Genesis, it happened. There was a city called Babel, and the people in their hearts, they said, "Well, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build a city with a tower. And let's build a city with a tower to heaven." They weren't actually physically trying to build something tall. They were trying to build something that gave them a name. The city wasn't height. They could have just gone up onto a mountain if they wanted a bit of elevation. No, it was about their place and their aspiration to heaven without God. Come on. And God says, come, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come, let us go down and confuse their language, because whatever they imagine they will do. We live in the age of Babel. We live in the age of whatever we imagine can be done. If we can think it up, we start finding a way to do it. Now, you say, well, that's not so bad, because, I mean, technology's okay. We need cars and electricity and so on, of course. But the intent behind it is that we don't need God. We don't need God because we can get to heaven by ourselves, and we can make a name for ourselves. And so I'm looking at this movie, and I'm realizing I don't want to see this movie again. I'm not going to see any Marvel movie again. I don't want to go and see that aspect which is being sown into the minds of young men and women in this world, and that I idly sit by and agree by paying money and being in there. Do you know what just happened yesterday? There was a clash of values. A clash of values. Some people are going to say, oh, you know, that man, he's just gone over the top. Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's just a children's program. You know, I mean, stop. You know, what are you doing? You can't say that to people in church. Others will be saying, going, my goodness, you know what? I think about the books I read. I think about the movies now I look at. They're getting worse and worse. It seems like it's getting darker and darker. I'm challenged. I think there's some truth in this. Do you see what's going to happen? I'm not trying to make myself look good in your eyes. I'm just telling you the truth of what happened yesterday, because my values have been impacted. Your values are one, it's made up of three things. It's made up of what your conscience says. Three C's, by the way. Can't help it, I'm a preacher. It's what your conscience says. It's what your convictions about what it's what you stand for. Your convictions, standing is good. But with your conscience and your convictions, you get a call. It's the call of God. It's your convictions. It's your conscience. And when you get your conscience, your convictions, and your call all uniting together, you have values. And values are what you outwork in your life. Values is what you walk. That's walking. And when you walk your values out, your heavenly values, the things that God's brought into your world, when you outwalk them, listen, when you start to outwalk those values, you will not stumble, because you are not alone. And when you begin to run on something, God is with you. You don't have to think, oh, I can't step out because, you know, there's going to be people against me. It doesn't matter. God is with you. You want to attract the favor of heaven? You want to bring down the lightning bolt of God's glory in your world? Outwork your values. Don't just stand. Please stand for what you believe. But don't just be a person of conviction and good intention. Be a person that steps out and begins to walk, begins to walk, begins to walk. You know, as I'm reading God's word and I'm seeing so many verses that refer to our walk with him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Now, Baz, I'm sure you could quote that verse. Could you? I don't want to put you on the spot. I find that really interesting, that verse, because he will make your paths straight. Well, what is God just going to turn up with a bulldozer? You know, I'm going down the road. I'm going across there. There's a mall on the way. He makes your path straight. You don't have to walk around the mall. Bible says so. Doesn't mean that. It means that if you commit your ways to the Lord, if you trust him with all your heart, if you're leaning in on him, it means that when you take that step, you're not going to be constrained. You're not going to be held back, and you take another step. He's your pathway, the way you're walking, your values being outworked in life. Well, he will be there with you. He will be beside you. Come on. You think, oh, where is God? Well, I'll tell you what. If you're over here like this, sitting down, Well, he's probably walking somewhere. There's a prophet in the Old Testament. Really interesting story. God tells him to go into this little city. He says, I want you to go in one way, give this message. They need a bit of a shake up and a wake up. And then I want you to get up and walk out a different way and don't come back. The prophet does as he's told. He goes in, he walks in one side of town, he gives them the message from God, he gets up and off he goes. He's walking away. Not the way he came in, he leaves just as God said. Another person that lives in that town heard about it. He says, hey, what happened here, everyone? I wasn't here, I was out of town. A guy come in, he walked in one way, he gave us the message, he walked out another way. Which way did he go? Went that way. Right. So this other fellow, who's also a man of God, went down and found him sitting under a tree. He talked him around. He said, come back to town. Come on, come back to town. And let's talk this through. The fellow eventually got up, went back to town. They had dinner together. Then this older prophet says to him, I don't know if you realize it, but you disobeyed the word of God in your world. And there were consequences. His life came to an end not long after that. Do you know what I find significant in that little story? I find this significant. Somebody that's walking their journey with God, somewhere along the way, they do this. They sit down. They sit down. Have you ever met someone like that? Has that been your experience? You've been walking with God. You've seen the power. You've understood something of heaven's resource in your world. But come on, if you're honest, you're sitting down. God wants us to be people of values that keep on walking, keep on standing, keep on going, not giving up, knowing what our convictions are, knowing what our conscience is, knowing what our call from heaven is. And when you do that, it's like that woman. Can you imagine? She's in this room. She's in the house. Come on, we're in a house. We're in a house. You're the house. I'm the house. We're a house. We're the house. The house is not this building. There's no smell of perfume in here. I could get some perfume now and put a fan on and blow it out, and you'd all go, oh, Chanel number 5. Oh, very nice. That's not happening. No, but another scent, another fragrance, another smell that can permeate through the house, through your life, through my life. It's the smell of somebody that's outworking their values. It's the smell of someone that's going to take something valuable in their world and they're going to say, this is for Jesus because I'm with them right now and I may not always be in this place, but right now he's here and I am going to pour out my life. Pour out what it is in my world that's significant. And when she did that, when the woman did that, the room, the house was full of this fragrant aroma. Come on, are your values, values that bring a scent or a stench? Come on. Come on, let's be real. Are your values, are your values bringing an aroma, a beautiful aroma into the house? When you pour out, when you actually take a stand, when your values outworked, there are going to be those that go, oh, you shouldn't have done that. That was terrible. You shouldn't be laying down your life and, stepping out. And then there'll be those that will start saying, come on. Come on, that's what I want to be. I want to be like you. That's it. God is calling us. God is calling. He is looking. His eyes roam through the world, looking for a people that will just stand up for him and walk. And walk and take steps. Values that can't be hampered, can't be held down. Values that can say, no, no, no. I'm convinced. I'm convicted. My convictions are so strong. My conscience won't let me do this anymore. I know that I'm called of heaven. I know, and I will take a step. Step after step. It might be that you're called to do something of great generosity or great compassion. You see, when it's all about, with this woman here, it was all about the fact that she had Jesus in her presence. And it's kind of two sides to it. Listen to me. It's kind of two sides to this. That we have kind of like social justice, And then we have our worship of heaven. Which is it? Should we be pouring out our life in our worship of Jesus? Or should we be pouring out our life in the service of people? But it's not either or, it's kind of both. It's actually both. Listen, these are the words that Jesus said when he got up in a little synagogue. They gave him a Bible. He opened it at Isaiah. He looked up and he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor." He reads on, there's more. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel." God is Jesus is Lord, the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. He's in charge. He's in control. I'm following him. It's the gospel. It's all about God. The good news of the gospel to the poor. It's all about the poor. It's about helping people. It's about being there. It's about being compassionate. It's about reaching out. It's not either or. He didn't bring a message of one or the other. It was both. The gospel to the poor. It's God and man. It's not either or, it's both. Where do your values stand with God and man? It's not either or, it's both. We're being called, we're being called, we're being called. Even right now, there's a call that rests on your heart that's unanswered. You feel that you're sitting under a tree, that you've sat down on your journey. I've got some advice. Stand up. Start to walk. Stand up. Start to walk. Come on. Come on, stand up and start to walk. Sounds like something would say to little Sienna in a few years' time. Come on, Sienna, stand up, start to walk. You can't sit down all the time. What were you like when you were a baby? Were you one of those babies that sort of sat like this? And for those that are listening to the broadcast, you can't see what I'm about to do. Be thankful for that because you don't want to see it. Were you one of these babies? Yeah. So it's sort of like a bum chugger. Or, you know, sometimes you have one leg tucked underneath or sometimes it's crawling. Luke, our oldest son, he was so well fed because he had such a loving, caring mum that by the time he was 1 year old, he was actually a basketball. It was really confusing. I'd go downstairs and want to play basketball and almost pick up the wrong thing. And he's a slim, running, you know, power machine. But when he was a little baby, he was Mr. Blobby. And sort of like, you know, whoop, and he was just so happy. He was so happy. He didn't start walking till he was 18 months. And why did he to? He had us to carry him around. I've still got back trouble. It comes a time when we need to stand up and walk. There's a verse in the New Testament that says this. When you run the race, run with integrity, with determination. Jesus said, hey, don't follow those that run after any teacher. What were they doing? They were chasing something. Now, what we do is we chase after Jesus. We run after, hey guys, do you want to come up? We'll bring it. I'll bring this into land. And let's get the worship team up. Get up, start to walk, prepare to run. Get up, start to walk, prepare to run. What does that mean? When you make a stand and you say, I know what my convictions are, and you begin to take steps, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for he will be upheld with his right hand. God will be with you. God will be with you. Stand, walk, run. There's some people here today, and you're a runner. You don't know it, but you're a runner. You may not feel like it, but God's got something on your world which is so potent, so powerful. He wants you to run with it. He wants you to be someone that runs with that cause. He wants to be someone that runs with that aspect of God worship or social justice. He wants you to be the person that's a runner. Don't let your life. Be like that highway of shattered dreams because you intended to do it. You'll go to your grave with good intentions and you'll never see your dreams come to pass. Be a person that recognizes the values that you have are not those that can be compromised, and that you would stand up like that woman and make a statement that fills the house with a fragrance that lasts forever. And Jesus said, you will never be forgotten. As long as time exists, you will be spoken of. Why? Because she was the disciple that began to walk. She outworked her stand. She outworked her faith. Some people, listen, when you do it, some people will oppose you. Some people will applaud you. But you're going to say, I don't care. I'm not doing it for people. I'm doing it because God's called me to be a runner. Has God called you to be a runner? Come on, he has. He's called us all to run the race, to run it well, to run with integrity, to run with honesty. You know, you're feeling like, oh man, I'm just sitting down. I'm just down, man. I'm just immobile. I'm sitting under a tree. I'm just sort of twiddling my thumbs. God, where are you? What's going on? Dear friend, just know, God is still moving. He didn't stop moving. He didn't stop moving. Quite often what happens is, oh, I stop moving. It's true. I stop moving. Every now and again, I've got to pick myself up. I know what I stand for. You know, give myself a wake up. Come on. Get with the program. And begin to walk again. He's with you in the walk. When you're walking, you know, every now and again with my wife, we're going to cross like a curb, or it might be at night time and I have good night vision. Hers is not that great. I reach over and grab her arm. And so here we come. Here's a step. Whoop, here we go. Most of the time she's all right. You get out your phone. You got one of those little torches in your phone? Turn my phone on. The torches are so bright, you know, they melt the paint off walls. Light up the way. But I can't help her if she's sitting in the car. No, it's to get out and walk. Okay, now I'm here. Do you get it? God can't help you from falling if you're not mobile. Making a stand is important. Know your convictions, but there's more. Knowing what your conscience says about loving God and loving man, and knowing what you're called to do is going to mobilize you. It will not leave you alone. It will not depart from you. You won't be able to hide from it. It's your purpose, your call, your mission. Come on, let's be people that walk. Right now, let's all just stand. We're going to sing a song.